Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. And also wanted to make mention, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, a number of things that are available to you there, not the least of which is you can listen to past programs there. If you're in an area where you do not hear both hours of our Sunday night program, we're actually on from 10 until midnight. Some people are only with us from 11 until midnight. Some people start at 10, but they don't make it past 11. I understand that. It gets late. I know. I'm a pastor. I have my morning church services and then our evening church services. And usually I come home from church, try to get home by about 8 o'clock, get something to eat, and be out the door by a little after 9 so that I could be up here to the station ready for the 10 o'clock beginning of our programs. So it's a busy day, I know, and it gets a little long sometimes, but we're glad everybody sticks with us. But like I said, if you can't make it through the whole thing, check us out online live with PastorAl.com. You can listen to the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. Both of them are listed there. And in addition to that, we also have our Friday program. We have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, and those are available there at livewithpastoral.com as well. Want to mention again, too, that coming up a week from today, it'll be Christmas Eve, and we've got a special program planned, and we will not be able to take phone calls, but Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, a good friend of mine, will be joining me on the program, and we are going to be talking about all things Christmas from a Bible perspective, and we'll have a number of things that we're talking about. We're going to talk about the birth of Christ and some of the things that we do to celebrate that, and not sure exactly what all we're going to get into, but we will conclude in the last half hour with the reading of the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures. And as I like to keep reminding people, if you want a copy of the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures, you can go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can get a download of that. You can get a free copy of that. It's not copywritten other than, I mean, it says on the paper or on the webpage, copyright 2012. I just did that because, you know, I put it together. The Lord helped. It's all the King James Bible. So you can copy, download that, print it off. You can copy it. You can share it with as many people as you want to. You can read it for your family and friends on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. You can read it at your church. I will be reading it at our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. I'll be reading at our church a week from tonight, and our Christmas Eve candlelight service in lieu of our regular 6 o'clock Sunday evening service. We are going to be having our Christmas Eve candlelight service we do every year at Christmas Eve. And normally I would be preaching through the book of Proverbs. In fact, this Sunday night, earlier tonight, I was in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1. We just started chapter 27. On Sunday mornings, I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. And so I like preaching through books. It keeps me on track and keeps me focused on the Bible. And it also forces me to have to preach things that I probably would overlook or maybe get back to someday, which would probably never happen. And so I have to preach the whole counsel of God. So it keeps me straight and always gives me, a direction of where I'm going to preach. I just follow through the Word of God, and God gives me has given us his word, gives me, gives you the word of God. You can have it. I use the King James Bible by conviction for a variety of reasons. And we just follow through the scriptures, and you can enjoy the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures. And it's all scriptures just taken from the King James Bible. And I don't know what your feelings are in the different Bible versions, but you cannot get around the fact that the King James has a much more majestic sound than the modern versions. But you can download that, the birth of Christ as recorded in the scriptures, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you. Also have on our website, livewithpastoral.com, a selection of things, some articles and some other things that we have. You can find that in my comment section right there in the center. There are several. The last two there, of course, are parodies. 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest, and then How the ACLU Stole Christmas with Apologies to Dr. Seuss, as well as some other things. The Birth of Christ as Recorded in Scriptures is there, as well as The Spirit of Herod is Alive and Well, O Christmas Tree or Idolatry, Why Was the Virgin Birth of Jesus Christ Necessary, Who Were the Shepherds, and Why Was Jesus Made a Little Lower Than the Angels. And you can download those, you can read those, and hopefully some of that will be a blessing to you. We'll be talking about some of that, Pastor Lutz and I will, next week on the program as well, and we may even touch on some of that a little bit later tonight. But in the meanwhile, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight, and we've got John calling in tonight. John, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. Merry Christmas, John.
All right. Often wondered about Christmas.
Yes.
And I often wondered why the Baptists didn't change the name of Christmas.
Oh, because it's a contraction, really, of Christ's Mass.
Right, and Baptists don't celebrate Mass, do they?
No. And it's one of those little things. It's like, well, why did we keep the days of the week? You know, like Saturday is named in honor of the Roman god Saturn. And Thursday is named after the Norse god Thor, and Friday, of course, Frida. And so we have a lot of things in our language that we do have. And somewhere along the line, somebody took the second S off from it, I guess. So I guess that makes it okay. Say it tongue in cheek there. But no, I actually have wondered why we call it Christ Mass, because it's really a celebration of the nativity of Christ. But Christmas, you know, as opposed to Christ Mass, is how it's pronounced. And it's pretty much lost the connotation of the Catholic Mass. There were people celebrating the birth of Christ before the Catholic Church was ever invented. So Catholic Church did not invent the celebration of the birth of Christ, although they did invent the Mass. So,
was the Baptist celebrating it before the Catholics?
Well, yeah, because the Baptists do predate the Catholics.
And you feel that they were celebrating it in the first century?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Luke celebrated it. Matthew celebrated it. I mean, they both wrote about it.
Well, that's true, but
yeah.
I always thought that the Catholics took the December 25th date from the pagan Romans.
Well, there's some belief to that. In fact, I think Pastor Lutz and I will probably talk about that maybe next week a little. And that's why there's some debate. There are some people who are convinced that Jesus was actually born in the autumn. Some people are convinced that he was born in the spring. I've seen good reasoning to believe either of those perspectives, and there's also good reason to believe that he was born in early winter, because I say early winter because winter actually starts on December 21st. And but to your point, there were a lot of pagan celebrations around the time of the end of December, beginning of January. And part of that is because, you know, a lot of them worship the sun. And in the Northern Hemisphere, the days are getting progressively shorter. December 21st is the shortest day of the year, longest night. And it was very noticeable. And so people would light bonfires and do things trying to revive the sun god. And I thought it's pretty good when you have a god that gets weary and you have to revive him like that. But so they would have these things. And so the Catholic Church did have a tendency to place holidays in conjunction with some pagan holidays in order to bring the pagans in and give them something to do rather than tell them they can't do anything. And certainly Saturnalia, which was a feast of debauchery and hedonism. In fact, in the early days of the United States, especially in the northern colonies, I should say before the United States, in the northern colonies, by and large, Christmas, in terms of celebration of Christmas in the way that it was in parts of Europe, was banned. In the South, it was much more common. But remember, George Washington crossed the Delaware there and defeated the British because they were all drunk from celebrating and partying at Christmas time. And George Washington and his people were not doing that. So there is a sordid history there that the Catholic Church kind of embraced trying to get people to come in. It's just like when they took the people who came from backgrounds where they had many different gods and goddesses, different deities. And so instead of saying, well, we're just going to replace your whole system of idolatry, get rid of your whole system and say you can only worship God, they gave them substitute saints to pray to. So if you were a Roman guy dealing with pottery, so you had the god of pottery, and then you were going to ship some pottery somewhere, so you had the god of the seas to pray to, and the god of whatever, you had all these different ones, then it just became, well, now pray to the saint of potters and the saint of the seas and the shipping and all that. It just replaced the deities with saints, and it gave them something to do, and so it was a capitulation to the world, which is, of course, why the Catholic Church, of course, departed so radically from the faith in the early days. And, of course, the Catholic Church really didn't come into being until the 4th century. So the Baptists, of course, were there before then. So
it's my understanding that Saturnalia was a festival in honor of Saturn.
Yes.
Saturn was a false god.
Yes, that's what I just said. Yeah, Saturnalia was a hedonistic festival.
It was to a false god.
Yes, and that's why a lot of parts, like I said, the early days of our country, especially in the northern colonies, they banned the celebration of Christmas because of its connection with Saturnalia by that time. And
I've always thought that Jesus may have been born during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Well, and as I said, people have come up with reasons for different times as to why he should have been born at this time or that time. I'm hoping to look this up and talk about it next week on the radio. There is a timeline based on, remember Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, and his father was in the temple serving. He was a priest, and his course of his family, the priests, they had certain time that they went into the temple. I think it was twice a year, and it was that time, and somebody worked it out, and because remember, John the Baptist was conceived shortly after that, and then when he was 6 months along is when Mary came to see. So I think John the Baptist was about 6 months earlier than Jesus. But at any rate, they were close in there. Somebody's worked out the timeline to come out with a date. And I'm trying to remember, I think if he was at a certain course, he would have come out serving at a certain time so that John the Baptist would have been born at a certain time, and then Jesus after him would have been born in the late December, early January time frame. But of course, if it was the other course of his service, you know, like because it was twice a year, it wouldn't have been at that time, would have been a different time of the year. So people come out with that. But one issue, and I was talking about this at our church today, we might argue over and debate exactly when Jesus was born. But one thing that we are in agreement is that Jesus was born, right?
Right, but do we celebrate the birthdays of people that are in heaven?
Well, I mean, when my mom passed away, she went to be in heaven, and we remember her on her birthday. When my dad passed away, he went to be in heaven, and we remember him when, you know, his birthday rolls around. So we do think of them and honor their memory on their birthday.
Do you celebrate those days?
Well, it depends on what you define celebration as. We honor the memory of our friends and family members who have passed away, and that's what we're doing with Jesus. If somebody is celebrating the birth of Christ with a Saturnalia type of a festival, that's certainly wrong. We can agree on that without any problem. But I don't think Jesus is going to get mad at us when we get to heaven for saying, how dare you preach on my birth and sing songs celebrating my birth on December 24th or 25th. How dare you?
Well, I guess I would think that it would be superfluous.
In what way?
Well, the fact that he's already in heaven.
Well, yeah. Well, then I guess we shouldn't celebrate the fact that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, which we celebrated Easter time, the resurrection of Christ, because he's already in heaven. Why would we even celebrate that then?
Just like I don't celebrate my mother's birthday.
Well, I don't celebrate my mother's birthday like I did when she was here. I don't bake a cake. We don't take her out to eat. We don't take her picture to a restaurant. But, you know, we remember, hey, this was the day that my mother was born. She was a special person to us. When she died and went to be with the Lord in heaven, I didn't banish all memory of my mother from my life and say, well, she's in heaven now. I'm not going to talk about anything that she's ever done or anything she meant to me because it's superfluous. She's in heaven.
No, but
why would we do that with Christ? I mean, isn't the birth of Christ important?
Well,
it changed the world.
If you wanted to have a celebration, but I certainly don't think it's necessary to have a celebration for his birthday.
Well, that's fine. Let everybody be persuaded in their own mind. You know, why did God give Moses the holy days to celebrate things that happened in Israel's past? Why did he tell him to celebrate Passover? It was over and done with. Why did he tell him to do it?
Because it foreshadowed the Calvary.
Right. So we celebrate Calvary, right?
So what does...
I'll just expunge from my Bible in Micah where it talks about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, because after all, Jesus is in heaven already, so what importance is that? I'll just get rid of it in my Bible. No, we have different days that we celebrate and we think about and honor and remember certain things. God established holy days with the Jewish people in order to bring them in remembrance of things that he did and things that are important. And if somebody chooses to celebrate the birth of Christ on July 21st, that's fine with me. Because you're celebrating not the day, you're celebrating the meaning of the behind the day, which is the fact that Christ was born. If you want to celebrate that on September 23rd, that's fine. But I think it's good to take a day to remember what the birth of Christ was all about. There's a lot in the Bible about it. I mean, I'm not going to read anything about the Old Testament prophecies about Christ because, after all, he's already been born and gone to heaven, so it's superfluous. There's no sense talking about it anymore. I mean, after all, why did God put it in the Bible? All things are recorded for our admonitions, that we can learn, so we can grow. John said these things that he wrote about in his gospel are there so that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ and that we can be saved. And so I'm happy to have a time that we can celebrate Christ. If you want to do it on February the 3rd, you know, that's fine. I don't care.
I guess I'm wondering, if I was in your church and I felt that he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, wouldn't I be stand out and be...
No, we would say, well, we disagree with you. Now, if our church was convinced that he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, guess when I would have our Christmas Eve candlelight service? I'd have it during the Feast of Tabernacles. But right now, I'm not convinced that he wasn't born toward the end of January. Hey, I used to know a lady, she was in the nursing home, and she was, if I remember correctly, she was Roman Catholic, and her husband was Greek Orthodox. And she would always laugh and say, oh, we've got the best of both worlds. We celebrate Christmas twice every year. Well, I guess. But what I'm getting at, John, is that what's important is not the day that Jesus was born. What's important is that Jesus was born. And I am not going to expunge the prophecies in the Bible talking about the birth of Christ, and I'm not going to cross out the passages in Matthew and Luke and elsewhere in the scripture that talk about the birth of Christ. Because obviously God thought it was important enough to record the prophecies and their fulfillment so that we would know that Jesus is the Christ. You know, in John chapter 7, the people were arguing over who Jesus was, and they were saying, well, can any prophet, a prophet doesn't come out of Galilee, you know, he's supposed to come from the city of David. Well, if they'd have looked into it, they would have realized, hey, Jesus was born in the city of David, just like the prophet Micah predicted that he would be born. And so they would have said, well, okay, he matches the scripture. He must be, I mean, that's good reason to believe that he's the Messiah, because he matches the prophecies. And it wasn't just the prophecies about his birth. It was his life. It was his ministry. It was his death, burial, and resurrection. And all of those were written not just to fill the spaces up of the Bible. All those things in the Bible were written for a purpose. Every scripture in the Bible, Paul said to Timothy, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And, you know, when we look at this, John chapter 20, verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And
I guess when I read Revelation, when Jesus told John, I am the Alpha and the Omega, I certainly don't think of him as a baby.
No, that's true. But the importance of Jesus being incarnated as a human being so that he could go to the cross and purchase our salvation, it wouldn't have happened if he wasn't a baby. So it is very important. And we choose to celebrate Christmas Eve on December 24th and talk about the birth of Christ because, let's face it, most of the world looks at it that way. And I have people that'll come to church for a Christmas Eve service, but they won't come for a February 2nd service or an October 3rd service or something like that because people are thinking about Christ at this time of year. Whether he was born in late December or sometime in the fall or sometime in the spring or even in the summer, even if we don't know that for sure, people are attuned to thinking about Jesus and the birth of Christ. Now, I'm not going to keep Jesus as a baby in the manger, but that fact that Jesus was a baby in the manger, you know, it was important enough that the angels appeared before the shepherds and said, to go over to Bethlehem, and the sign would be you'd see it find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, and these shepherds, who happened to be Levitical priests, they were overseeing the birth of lambs that would be certified to be used as Passover lambs, and they wrapped them up in a cloth and laid them in a manger to keep them separate. So when they came and they saw the baby Jesus lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. They said, this is just what we're doing with the lambs that are going to be our Passover lambs. And that points to Christ because he is our Passover lamb. And then he was sacrificed at the time the Passover lambs were being killed. And of course, he fulfilled that picture. So, you know, people are thinking about Christ at this time of year. Why not take an opportunity to tell them who Jesus is?
Can you tell me how you celebrate his birth at your church?
Well, we got a couple of minutes, and we're going to have to let you go here because of the break. I tell you what we're going to do, what we have been doing. I'm preaching through the Word of God. I preach through books. I'm currently in John chapter 7. So on Christmas Eve, Sunday morning, I'll be preaching in John chapter 7. And that's where I'll be toward the end of the chapter, I think, but not quite to the end yet. So I'll be in John chapter 7. On Sunday evening, we will come together. We will sing songs about the birth of Christ, the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures, which, by the way, as I've pointed out several times already tonight, is entirely the Word of God, no extraneous words. It's simply the biblical record of the birth of Christ from the Old Testament prophecies through their fulfillment in the New Testament, where the New Testament records the birth of Christ for our admonition and learning, and then bringing up through the time when Jesus was 12 years old, and then some comments that Paul makes in his epistles. And I'll read that. And then we'll close out by thanking God for different things that he's done for us in the past year. And then we'll enjoy some fellowship together. That's how we'll be celebrating on Christmas Eve at our church. So if that's sinful and egregious, or at least superfluous to you, I apologize, but that's what our church will be doing.
Do you have, like, Christmas trees and the baby in the manger and all the accoutrements?
Let's see. We have a pulpit. We have chairs. We have songbooks. We have Bibles. There's a couple crosses that are visible.
How about wreaths?
We have songbooks and chairs and some Bibles and pulpit and some crosses.
That sounds like a regular Sunday service.
Well, we have the same thing present when we have our Friday night Bible study. Because the most important thing to us is not the furnishings or the decorations. The most important thing is the Word of God and talking about the Son of God. So if that makes us, you know, somewhat weird or whatever, I guess I'll take the title. But at any rate, John, I'm going to have to let you go because we're coming up on the break here. But
it doesn't
sound
like you're celebrating.
Well, celebrating to you, celebrating to me, I guess we're talking about different things and we won't quite agree on it. We are honoring the birth of Christ, just like I said. And I hope that you'll be doing so. Merry Christmas to you, John. I'll say that anyways. And well, always a challenge. But like I said, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born, and we celebrate that by honoring his memory. Stay tuned, another hour to go, half hour. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And our phone number here, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs. You can listen to both hours of our Sunday night program, 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. You can listen to our Friday afternoon half hour there. There's a number of articles and things that are there, and let me encourage you to get a copy of our little booklet, the Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. You can download that for free, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you and help you put the focus on Christ this year as we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And whether or not you have a wreath or a tree, you have the birth of Christ. That's the important thing. Sometimes I think people get caught up with other things and they forget the meaning. You know, the old phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. And people forget about everything, and they get caught up with this, and they get caught up with that, and it gets so hectic. And that's why, again, our church, every Christmas Eve, we have a Christmas Eve candlelight service where we take some time to just sit back and sing some songs celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, and read the birth of Christ as recorded in the Scriptures, and then spend a few minutes thanking God about some of the things over the past year, just remembering what Christ means to us, and just a little time from the hustle and bustle of this season, just to refocus a little bit on what this season is really about. It's not about Christmas trees and garland and wreaths and dinners and parties and all that. It's about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just want you to focus on that as much as you can. Enjoy having time with family and friends, but don't forget why we celebrate. All right, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Mary Grace calling us tonight. Mary Grace, Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, God bless you, Pastor Al.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
And the point is, we all celebrate different.
Yes.
And the point is, I wasn't sure because I was listening to John.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying for him now because I wasn't sure what he was all about.
I don't know if he was sure what he was all about. People who were listening, our previous caller.
He was lonesome.
Well,
and maybe he's lonesome and he wanted somebody to talk to.
Yeah, and
I don't know.
Yeah, and let me just point out for our listeners, if they did not hear the previous caller, of course, he was asking about celebrating Christmas and wanting to know what we did at our church, and somehow thinking, if I understood him correctly, that it's wrong to celebrate the birth of Christ because Jesus is in heaven. I guess that's what I got from it. So,
I didn't pick that up. Maybe I walked out of the room at that point.
Well, I shouldn't say wrong. Let me rephrase that. He said it's superfluous because Jesus is in heaven, so it's superfluous. And my point was that, you know, we need to remember who Jesus is. And the Bible talks a lot about the birth of Christ, so why not spend some time on it? You know, holy days were exactly that. They were to remind us of things, of holy things. So
my point is, in Canada, they say happy holiday. You're not allowed to even, you know, say anything like that. And many other places, they won't even let you talk about it. But I will always say Merry Christmas because, mm-hmm. to me, that is special. And I'm an old woman, but the point is, everybody celebrates according to what they're able to do.
Right.
And the room and whatever. But the point is, I appreciate the trees. I appreciate the decorations. And we used to do ours with popcorn sometimes and mm-hmm. make special ornaments. And we all had, just a coming together. And that is important.
Well, you just, Mary Grace, you just brought up something important. Think about it. How many people can think back when they were kids, spending time with their parents, maybe with their grandparents, decorating a Christmas tree? And it's a time that family comes together. And really, for Christians, what a great time to tell your kids, you know, why are we doing this? We're doing this because we remember that God the Son became, you know, took on the form of a man, became a human, and dwelt among us so that he could purchase our salvation.
Mm-hmm. To make a cake for him.
Yeah, I've actually seen people do that, yes. Like a birthday cake
Happy
for
birthday,
Jesus.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We love you.
Yeah.
We're, it's just, I love the Lord.
Yeah. And
the point is, anything that we can do to appreciate him, even though he was not born at that time, you know, different places. But the angels came out, and I just saw a beautiful movie. Why the Nativity by, David Michael Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very nice movie, and it was free on Salem.
Let me go back to your birthday cake there for a minute. Let me go back to your birthday cake there for a minute. I remember reading a story about somebody who was born, and they didn't know exactly when he was born. They didn't have records of his birth. Well, obviously he was born because he was alive. And he just selected a day and celebrated that as his birthday. They didn't know when his birthday was, but they celebrated a particular day because he didn't know, so he just picked a day. Well, you know, I think there's good reason. I'm not going to say 100%, but I think you can make a good case that Jesus was born in late December, early January timeframe, but even if he wasn't, we don't know. What's wrong with picking a day and say, on this day we will celebrate the birth of Christ and we will remember one of the most important events in human history, the fact that the Son of God became a man and dwelt among us? I mean,
I know.
That's worth remembering.
Amen. And you know, we have so much to be thankful for this Christmas because of Bill, you know, the Bill 68 that went through. And all the things that you have done, you understand, by going to the State House and for Pastor Gary Glick and all the others, so many to name, you know, Jennifer Grossman, you know, so many marvelous people. You know, I just praise God because, you know, we still can't give up and we have to keep going more. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The baby.
Yeah.
No.
In fact, you mentioned House Bill 68 here in Ohio. For our listeners outside of Ohio, this is what we call the SAFE Act. And this was a bill that protects minors from life-altering surgeries and hormonal treatments being pushed by, you know, counselors and doctors and things in the public schools and health clinics. And this they had some tremendous testimonies, many of them from young people who have gone through the transitioning process, including having healthy body parts removed, and now they're regretting that they've ever done it. But of course, it's irreversible now, and just many things. And so, if you're in Ohio, you know, urge Governor DeWine to sign House Bill 68. It's on his desk. If you're outside of Ohio, certainly pray that Governor DeWine signs this. I believe Florida had a similar bill. I'm not sure of the status. Maybe somebody knows a similar bill to Ohio's SAFE Act. But Governor DeWine has 10 days to sign it. It just went through this past week. And it's a tremendous – I had an opportunity to submit a testimony for this bill when it was in the House in the committee there. And it just some of the stories of some of these people who have been hoodwinked. You know, their parents were told the lie that, you know, would you rather have, let's say you have a son that thinks he now should be a girl, would you rather have a dead son or a living daughter? And the truth of the matter is the statistics show that a child, a minor that goes into this transitioning process is 19 times more likely to commit suicide than a child that does not get pushed into this transitioning process. In fact, most of the children that they push into the transitioning process, if left alone, will go through those early days of puberty and become a young adult and be comfortable with the fact that they're either male or female. And that's why the transitioning surgery actually causes young people to commit suicide 19 times more. But they lie and they tell you that your child is more likely to commit suicide if you don't do this. It's an outright lie. And I'm thankful for the SAFE Act here in Ohio and in other states, similar laws. So pray that Governor DeWine signs that.
We must pray.
What a great Christmas present that would be.
It is. And it's, you know, I'm just saying, it's very egregious, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just am very thankful, and we must pray with great gratitude and just give that to the Lord.
Well, and
you know,
and with all of these things, we have to keep the focus on the Lord, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Because think about it. This whole thing.
I danced to him.
I was going to say, the whole thing with all the, we were talking about the SAFE Act, the whole thing with this, we were talking about this at church, and I said, you have to understand, we're creating the image of God. And this idea of maiming healthy young people and convincing them that somehow they're not what they are, and putting them in this. This is nothing more than the devil's attempt to destroy the image of God, to distort and maim the image of God. It's no different than somebody that has a picture. I was going to say, no different than somebody that has a picture of somebody, and they deface it or you know, or something.
But marvelous book by Laura Perry, and she disliked herself and her mother. And the Lord blessed her. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a book out there. And I thought it was from, I'm not sure what the name is now, but it was a beautiful book. And I'm telling you, just a marvelous lady.
Mm-hmm.
And her family was healed by the Lord, you know, from destruction of her body, and healed her whole family.
Mm. Well, I tell you, if people want to read some interesting statements, go online to ohiohouse.gov. That's ohiohouse.gov. And under the thing for legislation, search for House Bill 68 there. And when you find it, click through that to where you can read the testimonies that were submitted in favor of House Bill 68. And you will read some stories that'll just rip your heart out.
Yeah, see, this is just, I think when Bob France, with all his rights, he had on somebody, that, you know, that they all want to go back to what they were.
Mm-hmm. But they can't.
I know. And Chloe Cole.
Yes. That's the name I was trying to think of. Her testimony in the Ohio House and the committees, on this, she started here and she went national, went to other states, and
blessing people.
Yeah,
that's what you're doing. You're blessing people by telling them your story, because this has to stop. God help us. I don't care how much money they make on this. It just angers me. You know what I mean? It
mm-hmm.
just angers me because they, oh, dear Lord. It's hard for me to talk about it. It really is, Pastor.
But that's where you have to put it into the Lord's hands and allow God to deal with it. We pray, we talk to God, and sometimes it becomes too much. We just need to
give it to him.
That's where the Spirit of God just intervenes and it's terrible. I just called up here. You brought up Chloe Cole.
Yes.
She was 18 years old when she spoke before the committee. Imagine that. I mean, I've spoken before several House and Senate committees down in Columbus at the Ohio State House on different issues, sometimes for, sometimes against. I've spoken before the Ohio School Board. And, you know, it's not always easy to get up, especially when you don't know how the people are going to react to you. And at 18 years old, this young woman stood up. And listen to what she said here. She says this gender ideology attacked me when I was only 12 years old. The attacks have destroyed my life and wreaked havoc on my entire body, and I am still feeling the damage today. I always will. And that's the little-known secret. You don't just go through the transition and that's it.
No.
The rest of your life, you face therapy, you face drugs, and possibly other surgeries, because the whole transgender process is so unnatural that without the continual medical intervention, your body even rebels against it. Listen to what she said here. She said, I was fast-tracked. She's 12 years old. I was fast-tracked by medical butchers starting at 13 when I was given cross-sex hormones and they took my breasts away from me at 15 years old. I mean, I was just a child. I didn't deserve any of this, but I have to live with constant back pain because of the puberty blockers. My voice will always be lower and weaker than it should be. My stature will always be more masculine than it would have been. And she just goes on talking about these changes that will always be with me. And then I don't want to end her testimony there. This is what she concludes with. And this is where we've got to pray for people like this. And by the way, Gary Click, who is a pastor here in North Central Ohio, he said that he has had the opportunity to actually share the gospel with some of these people that were affected by this transitioning things like Chloe and all as a result of this. But she ends this way. Many of you are still complicit in this abuse, or in the abuse. Today is your chance to turn this around. Ohio needs you. The world needs you. The grass is greener on the other side. The world will award you for your courage, but it will also punish you for your apathy. Thank you. And that's how she ended. And then she had to stand there and allow the members of the committee to question her.
Oh.
And I don't know how long the question and answer period went on. I was not there present when she gave her testimony. But an 18-year-old young woman going through this horrible medical-induced trauma because of quack pop psychology, And as a consequence, she is standing before, you know, middle-aged men and women, laying her life bare before them and then being questioned on her motivations. And at 18, she was willing to do that. Unbelievable.
Yes, that is, oh, powerful courage.
And like I said, this is just one of several people that gave testimony that have been through all of that. And if you go to, as I said, go to ohiohouse.gov, and there's a tab there for legislation. You can click search legislation and just put in HB 68 for House Bill 68. And these testimonies will come up. And you can read testimonies like Chloe and many others that have been there, and they regret the fact that the adults in their life that should have been counseling them instead were pushing them to have hormonal therapy and have healthy body parts removed. Unbelievable.
Oh, God.
You know, there's an actual disorder, Mary Grace. There's an actual disorder where people have a limb, like a leg or an arm or something, that they don't think belongs to them. And it prompts them to go to doctors to try and get that offending limb removed because they don't think that they should have it. And it's been, I remember reading a story, it was bad, so bad that this one person had it so bad that they stuck their arm in like dry ice or something like that in order to purposely ruin their arm so the doctor would have to remove it because the doctors wouldn't remove it. It was a healthy arm. Why would they remove it? And you hear some weird stories. And when somebody presents themselves to the doctor saying, "Doctor, I think you need to take my leg off because it doesn't, I don't want it." The doctor doesn't say, "Okay, if you really identify as a one-legged person, let's do what we can, get rid of that leg." No, they say, "Listen, you know, there's a problem here. Let's get some counseling and figure out why you think you need to have your leg removed." But if they come in and they say, "Doctor, my reproductive parts I don't think belong to me because I think I'm the other sex, I want you to remove them," the doctor doesn't say, "Hey, wait a minute, there's a problem here. I think we should get some counseling before we go and remove healthy body parts." It shows, again, the spirit of Satan that is involved in this, because it is the destruction of the human body, and the human body, the human being is created in the image of God. And as I said before, it's just like somebody defacing a picture of somebody that they hate. The devil hates God. And he's defacing the image of God every time he pushes one of these young children into this, into the hands of these butchers. I had a doctor. I spent some time talking to him on the phone, and he must have been a Star Trek fan because he gave me the quote. He was pressured and out of a job at a pediatric hospital because he would not do transgendered surgeries. He said, "I'm a doctor, not a butcher." You know.
See.
And so there are some doctors out there who will not go along with this. And even in Europe, where they started this before we do, they're backing off from it because they realize the long-term effects are certainly not very good. But there's a lot of money in it. But ultimately,
has been closed.
Yeah, but ultimately, it's the devil pushing it because he's attacking the image of God. I think I got an article at livewithpastoral.com dealing with that. Trying to think of the name of it, but it's there somewhere.
Used to experiment on them. And I'm telling you, they closed them down by the grace of God.
Yes.
These are horrible things that they're doing. And I go, it's so wicked and evil.
Yeah. Oh, I found the article that I had written an article back in April. Of this past April, called Mental Dysphoria. And let me encourage people to check that out. You can go to livewithpastoral.com and scroll down. You'll see the article, Mental Dysphoria.
Okay.
And I talk about that in there. But yeah, it's just an attack.
I don't know whether it's drugs that they're giving, you know, but many times, and I think they do it in Canada, they give them more testosterone
mm-hmm.
to the girl than they need.
Oh yeah, because
their men is evil.
And the amount of testosterone that a pre-adolescent or adolescent boy has cursing through his system is far more than women will ever have. And so in order to suppress some of the feminine characteristics and make women more masculine, they have to pump huge amounts of testosterone in them. And the body is not geared for that. Hey, Mary Grace, we're running out of time here, and I want to make one more statement with this. You know, I mentioned before, I've got a biology degree, and I have to mention that because some people say if you don't know biology or whatever, you're not qualified to say this. No amount of surgery, no amount of therapy, no amount of testosterone or any other hormones is going to change the fact that everybody is either XX, which is female, or XY, which is male. Your chromosomes are never going to change. You're still XX female or XY male. That's a biological fact. It's also a scriptural fact because in the beginning, God made them male and female. So
that's right.
Mary Grace, I want to thank you for bringing up some subjects here with us tonight and say Merry Christmas to you again. And thank you. And Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. Join us next week. Special program where we'll be talking about all things Christmas from a biblical point of view. And I hope you have a great week this week. And God bless. Join us again for our special Christmas program. I'll be with Pastor John Lutz next week. In the meanwhile, have a great week. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.